Thank you, Ms. Clark. All right, take your Bibles if you would. Amen. I'm so glad that the Lord came to rescue a sinner like me. Amen. Psalm 138. Psalm 138 in your Bibles. And I do want you to pray for Tyler. I didn't mean to take such a shot at him. It wasn't my intention, but he was one of my teenagers, and every once in a while I take advantage of getting him back. But I do feel a little bad, because you guys took it completely wide open the wrong way. I was trying to get you to remember to pray for him, because he is stretching out. He's going down to the college, and I do appreciate having him as my assistant pastor and having all the things that he does. But again, it is one of those things. A lot of times the pastor asks of men to do the things that they would love to do, but they can't do, and stretch themselves in that area. And he is going down there to be the dean of men. And so the only thing, as Dr. Pitts was asked, is to go back into the Christian school and be principal. That'd be the only worst thing I could do to him. And so he needs your prayer. And, you know, with young men who are coming, again, they need to learn how to work. They need to know how to clean their room and wash their clothes. There's so many things, not just the Bible, that needs to be taught to them. There are so many things that they need to be instilled in them. And so he'll need you to pray for him. And do pray, if you would, just as the college starts up. I thank God that we are a training ministry. I think I've said that over and over again. My heart and my prayers have been recently focused on just resetting myself. Our church is a ministry that trains not only people up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but people, other churches trust us and send their young people here for us to continue training them. And that is a great responsibility. It's a great responsibility for all of us. And we ought to see it that way, and we ought to pray for it. We ought to be involved in it. It's not just if you're not a professor at the college, it doesn't mean that you don't have a part. These young people need love and encouragement. Sometimes they need some, if I could say it this way, they need a grandma or grandpa here in the church to lean on, to be invested in with. And so they need other things. They need someone to teach them to be a Sunday school teacher, somebody to teach them to be a bus worker, to do all these different things. And so if you would, just remember that, pray about it. And if somebody gets, if you get one of those young people and working in your area of ministry here, take it as personal. Again, that's a charge, that I'm here to help them grow. And again, as a church in general, we ought to be praying for the next generation of young people that will be trained to serve the Lord here from Landmark Baptist College. The title, after, I hope you found it, Psalm 138. I'll just say this, this is the title, What Personal Revival Looks Like. What Personal Revival Looks Like. We have the back to school revival, and sometimes if we're not careful, we'll think, oh, that's for the college, and that's for the Christian school, that's not for me. No, the back to school revival is for our church, and specifically it's for you and for me. Oftentimes we think about it's for someone else, but let me remind you, you have not grown up to being all that you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are still in a school of faith, growing in your faith, and it's time, if you could, if you've gotten away and taken the summer off a little bit of being in the Word of God, growing in the Word of God, then it would truly be revival for you, wouldn't it? If you kind of got back in and decided, look, I want you to revive me again, Lord, in this. And so that's the mindset of the message today, but I want you to see it personified in the psalm through the life of the person who wrote it under the inspiration of God, and it is David. David is someone who, for most of us, we would love to have a Christian walk or relationship, to have being able to be so close to God that God not only thinks, says that he's a man after my own heart. Now, I'm just going to tell you, the heart of God beats for souls. And so that means David was a lover of men's souls and wanted them to turn to believe in Jesus Christ. But he also loved Christians and people and served God. And as a king, he served God as a shepherd. He served God. What a picture he is throughout the scripture of someone in all different areas of work, spiritual work. Most of the time we think of our job as being a secular job, but if you're saved, you realize you are eternal, and whatever it is that you do, it turns spiritual when you go in and decide, I'm going to act like a Christian. I'm going to talk like a Christian. I'm going to be revived in my faith and in my, if I can say this, my daily communication with others. David, at times in his life, ran from all kinds of things. He acted like a crazy man. This same guy that was in the nicest clothes did some of the greatest things from God. There's other times in the scripture where, to hide himself in a bad situation, he's foaming at the mouth and acting like a crazy man. This man is, if there's anybody that pictures the highs and lows of a person's life, David can picture that. And David is going to make the mistake, or again, with Tamar, again, not Tamar, but again, he's going to make many mistakes in his life. But I'm going to just say Bathsheba's going to give him that. He's going to drop and fall. I mean, one of the biggest falls. Now, is that the first sin that David ever committed? No, but it's one of the biggest ones we hold against him in the scripture. Can I submit to you today, that's not the biggest one. He murders her husband. Beyond that, when God tells him absolutely not to number the people, he does it anyway. And it isn't just someone in his family or God recompensing him, but God begins to bring judgment on the nation because he's king. Can I just submit to you that sin has a cost? David, it shows up in his life. And here, when he gets away from God, you say, well, where does this set? At one time in the life of David when he's away from God. You say, well, what does it mean he's away from God? Is he a base of the knowledge of God? No. He knows who God is. He's just not walking with him the way he once did. And he asked God for revival. I want you to see what a revived heart sounds like. I want you to see what in the scripture today, what it looks like when somebody gets right with God and what it sounds like to everybody around them. Amen. And so we're going to dive into the chapter, but I'll say this. Can I ask you to bow your head in your heart and pray and ask God to give you what he wants you to have today from his word? For you to pray, I'm going to pray for you, and that God will help me today. Again, to deliver what he's laid upon my heart, but ask God to do a work in you today, if you would. Let's pray together. Dear God, I ask you to do a work that I can't do, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would work on the hearts of those that are hearers in this place today. God, I pray that you would help me to be surrendered. God, I give myself over to you the best way I know how, again, God, and I pray that you would use my lips, my mind, my heart, everything that I am, that you would let it deliver the word of God that you've burdened my heart with this morning. God, I pray that the result would be that people would be saved and lives would be restored and revived unto you. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. In Psalm 138, it begins reading like this, I will praise thee with my whole heart. What does revival in a man look like? He doesn't love God with pieces of himself, with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Listen, when that, if you have the right kind of Bible, that's not a big G, that's a little G. That means all the false gods of this world, everyone that doesn't walk with God, doesn't believe in him, everybody that's going to make fun of you for believing in the true word and God, he says, this is where I'll praise him. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my what? In my soul. It's a band-aid. Revival is a band-aid for your soul. Look at what it says here. He's going to go on. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Through the Lord, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth, look at that, afar off. If we're away from God, then what has probably come in between us and God? Pride. What came in between God and Satan? Pride. thinking a little highly of ourselves than we ought to. I am right with God. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, anybody that's walking with God, listen, inside themselves, if they're asked, are you walking as close as you were before, there ought to still be a question in myself, a self-evaluation, not just an answer that I'm okay. If I'm okay, there's an area of pride in my life. There's a place where I don't even question myself. We're not asking about God. God is good. He saved this old sinner. God is still working on me. We could go to Ephesians chapter 2 and realize that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And to what? Good works. How's your good works doing? That'd be a good measure of what's going on. Again, most of the time, the first thing that suffers when our relationship with God suffers is what? The good works. The fruit that we produce. Oh, preacher, now you're meddling. Look at what the Bible says. Read on with me. Look, he says, though I walk in the midst of trouble. How many of you could say amen to that in your life today? You know, the Bible says that man's days are full of what? Trouble. It's not something that you should be surprised by. We live in a sin-cursed world, and guess what is going to pass by us on a daily basis? Trouble. Most of us, it's because it's our middle name. It's not on my birth certificate, but I can tell you what my mom and dad used to say, hey, trouble, when I walked by. Why? Because they got me a slingshot. Why did they do that? They knew I was going to knock a wind out with it. But they wanted me to experience and learn how to shoot and to aim at something and to aim at the correct thing. Do you know what most of us have trouble with? We're just like I was when I was a boy. My dad, listen, I did not break my dad's word. My dad put me in the backyard at my grandparents' house. I had that slingshot, and I was in the backyard. And when I got tired, listen, it wasn't Florida. There weren't all these little lizards you can shoot at around here, you know. I mean, if frogs, after you shoot the first three of them, they just look at you, you know, that it ain't exciting anymore. So I'm looking for something to aim at. And of course, I don't remember what it was. I think it was a bird feeder or something. About halfway up through my grandmother's house where her kitchen window was, there was a bird feeder. And birds were resting on that thing eating. And I mean, they were primed for the plucking with that stone. Now, you all are saying, why would you do that? That's just evil, preacher. That's what boys do. Now, after I killed my first one with a stone and my mom made me eat it, I quit shooting birds. Because in my house, if you kill it, you eat it. Amen? So be careful, all you young kids that are in here. All right, if your mom and dad put that into practice, you got to be careful, all right? Now, I haven't kept that in practice with my car, the stuff I run over, we ain't eat y'all. Anyway, but I had that slingshot and I was aiming like that. Now, it didn't calculate in my mind that my mom and dad's van was behind that bird. I wasn't taking aim on what was behind that. Do you know oftentimes in our lives, we don't think past the thing that we're aiming at. We don't look down the road and see all the things that could happen and how, I mean, it could cascade into terrible things. Like I busted a window and had to work to pay that. And that my dad took the first payment out of my hide. And that there were two more checks to follow. Hey, for all of us, I mean, I reared back and I took aim and I let her fly with no thoughts of consequences. With no thoughts of what's down the road. You know what I love about the Word of God? The Word of God just doesn't deal with today. It deals with all of eternity. It deals with step by step past just the thing that I want or the thing I'm aiming at to hit. But what are the consequences going to be of every step that I take in this life? And folks, I'm a grown man now with a family, and I got to think past one step or the next step. I got to think past just the thing that I desire and that I'm aiming at. I got to think past all those steps. I've got to be a little bit more grown up. And listen, it doesn't really matter what age you are. You know, and spiritually, just because you're saved, it don't mean you're grown up yet. We got to invest some things in this life and in the faith to be able to be a grown up in the Word of God. You say, preacher, why are you getting after this? I'm saying, if I want to have revival in my life, look at what the Scripture says. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt, look, stretch forth thine hand and, what is this? hand against the wrath of my enemies. That means that there's trouble. Who's causing trouble? Sometimes I cause trouble for myself, but sometimes there's an enemy. Hey, folks, do you forget that there's an enemy that doesn't want you to serve God? That he's against everything that's godly and good in this world, and that he's going to try to knock back and take down anything that we try to build up for God? Not only out here physically, but in our personal lives. Do you know what the devil's trying to do and your flesh is trying to do on a daily basis? If you just stack up some good days of walking with God and reading the Bible, you know what he's looking to do? Take out your next day. Stop you from having devotions. Get you so busy and so bothered by the troubles of this world that you don't have a walk with God. Look at how it starts. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. The verse itself talks about our walk. Revival is reviving the walk that we have with God. That daily we spend time with God. You say, preacher, what is it that you're trying to get at? I'm trying to get at, we have trouble on a daily basis. And I want you to know this. It isn't the psalmist that says he can revive himself. Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against my enemy. Look, against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. I want you, before we go through the chapter, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians. Hold your place there. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I know I got it marked. Ephesians chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture. For all of us that are saved, we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest what? Any man should boast. But we don't often connect the next verse with that same core passage of Scripture. We ought to continue on and memorize the Word of God because we're His workmanship. Look at the Scripture with me. Read the verses that I just quoted. For by grace, in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Folks, I want to remind you this morning, you didn't do any of the saving when you got saved. God did all the saving. If you went back to chapter 1, you would find that God the Father chose you before the foundation of the world, that Jesus came from heaven. It's been sung about here. Because he lives, it was saying that, again, for all of us, that he took his place on Calvary, abandoning his throne in heaven to take my place on Calvary and to pay my sin debt. That same Jesus is the payment for your sin and for my sin. He goes on and he says here, and all of us need to hear that, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By the way, you don't even get to keep it yourself. God the Father saved you because he chose you. Jesus paid your sin debt and covered your sins just as if you never sinned. And then the Spirit of God in verse 13 of chapter number 1 of this book seals you until the day of redemption. God chose you, God saved you, he redeemed you, and he keeps you until he comes for his purchased possession according to his word. And then he says, because it's not of works. It's not of your works anyway. God had to do a lot of work to save you and me. But it's not of your works, lest any what? Man should boast. Who should get the glory for your salvation on a daily basis? God. Who should sing praises about what God does and how he keeps you saved? Listen, it ought to be you and me. There ought to be a song in our heart for the rest of our lives because of what God has done and continues to do in you and in me on a daily basis. Because he's not done yet. In verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Can I just submit to you today that same God that chose you before the foundation of the world ordained you to be saved to do some good works for him. And he didn't choose it once you got saved. He chose it long time ago when he chose you to be saved and that there was a work for you to do. To turn back with me to Psalms, I want you to see this. This personal revival, what does it look like? We've read through the chapter. We've seen some things. I want you to see first and foremost that revival starts in our soul. It's deep down. The flesh is what constantly battles the soul. The soul of a man is eternal. It is what is saved. God breathed breath into man and he became a living soul, according to the word of God. And so the first place God is going to revive me, the place that I need God to put a, if I said a band-aid, that means that, listen, it's not like a cut. Yesterday I was working around the house and I'm getting old. You know how you know you get old? If you touch something, you bleed. It's like a reaction. I told my wife, my skin used to be thicker than this. You say, y'all are smiling. You identify. All you young people don't know yet, but it's coming for you too. I looked at the back of my hands the other day and I said, somehow I got my dad's hands now. They used to not have all these wrinkles and knots and things in them, but somehow they became my hands. Why? Because of age. Things don't stay the same. We're in a sin-cursed world, and if I'm going to be revived down deep inside of me, it's not going to be the flesh that changes me. I'm going to be changed from the inside out. I had to go in the house, and to stop the bleeding, I put a Band-Aid on it. Can I tell you, the Band-Aid didn't fix anything. God made a miraculous body that will heal itself. Inside the same blood, all I had to do was compress it a little bit with a Band-Aid, and all of a sudden the blood and what was in my blood started to stack up things over top of that crack, and I just gave it a little bit of pressure. Do you know what your soul needs in the bad place that's been leaking out, the things that you need to hold on to? You need a Band-Aid from heaven. It's called revival. You need to have a little bit of pressure put on you in just the right place by God, so that your soul, because it's got the Spirit of God inside of it, can heal itself because of the Word of God. Do you know what the Word of God does for me? It convicts me. It corrects me. It gets me back in the way that I ought to be. It makes me confident when I'm keeping it. Because it's God's Word. I said to my Sunday school this morning, I remember being in college and my niece, she moved in with us and lived there and went to college, and we just loved to have her there. And she would come after Pastor Carter would preach on a Sunday night. She'd come over home and we'd sit there and we'd be just sitting around the house. She'd say, Uncle Barry, why is this like this? I said, the Bible says. And finally, one night, I was giving her some counsel, and I said, the Bible says. She said, I don't want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what you think. I said, what I think does not matter if we've got Bible on it. The Bible says this, and it's the counsel that we need. You know what revival meetings are all about? The areas that we want to leak. We think it looks like a fountain. It's pretty. I'm comfortable. It's relieving the pressure of all the, can I say it like this? The compromise that's happened in my life. It's relieving the pressure of my conviction to do right and follow God. We need to put some pressure on it from the Bible. Instead of it leaking, you say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because again, what do I need when I'm weak? You know, I don't know about you, but life is in the blood. And I didn't let it keep bleeding. I didn't go around the house going, look at my finger. I'm squirting blood. You know, look at the beautiful red color that it is. I put a bandage on it. I looked for a Band-Aid. And if I hadn't have found one, I'd have grabbed the duct tape. Amen. There's a bunch of men in here. Amen. And I bound it up and I went on doing, listen, revival, God's working on you isn't to derail you from the Christian life. It's so you can continue in the good works. It's to bind up the things that are broken so that we can keep on soldiering on for the Jesus Christ. For all of us, he says, preacher, why is it? Listen, because I want my soul to be strengthened. He talks about, listen, we saw and I made comment in verse 1. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Revival in the person's life is wholehearted. The soul is often talked about in the deepest part of man, and the opposite of that, or the other part that we talk about, our seat of emotions that deep is in us, is the whole heart or a heart. Wouldn't it be great if our heart was lined up with our soul and desired to serve God and to do good works, to love him and honor him. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Wouldn't it be great today if your desire this week was to live to the praise, honor, and glory of Jesus Christ? We can list off all the things, because I live just in the same world you do, busy with all the things, and we can list all the things that I want to do. But if I made and I checked the boxes of this is what I want to do because it'll bring God praise and glory. Ladies cleaning your house. That clean house does what? Doesn't just bring you praise. A lot of times we do it because we want the praise. But who should it bring glory to? God. Men, we wash the car so everybody sees us in our clean car. No, because we are reminded that's God's car. He gave it to me, and it ought to be washed. It ought to be clean, and it ought to run down the road for whose praise and glory? God's glory. We take care of our homes and our houses, and if everything in our life was brought back to the reminded point that this is something that God has given me, he's allowed me, not just my children. Listen, more than all of us realize, we can't raise kids without God. We can't do it without his help. That we can't do the thing that we need. But listen, we could all put it in perspective that our children, our homes, our cars, our jobs, everything in our lives, we need to be revived so that we can do it to the praise and glory of Almighty God with all our heart. And he goes on and he says, I will worship. Wouldn't it be great if we got back to worshiping? Do you know what he says toward the holy temple? Do you know what that always was focused on? Prayer. The Old Testament Jew always would point, no matter where he was in the day, and he would take time to point towards Jerusalem and bow down to pray. We don't bow down and point to Jerusalem as a New Testament Christian. We walk boldly before the throne of grace because of what Jesus has done for us, right into the throne room and pray to God. Making our questions and our answers. Listen, we're asking him, God, we want you to do this. He says, and praise the, look at that. What's that? Thy name for thy loving kindness. Do you know a lot of times we think about banging down the door of the throne room of heaven to tell God what we need when he already knows we need it? To beat down the throne room of God so we could enter into that place and get away from our troubles? How about if we got with our whole heart, once we get right, we decided to run through the door boldly so we could tell God, God, I wanted to praise you today for your loving kindness. I'm a sinner. And there's no way I could be saved if it wasn't for the graciousness and loving kindness of a holy God that died on Calvary and paid my sin debt. Do you know what will keep you humble? Can I tell you what will keep you humble? To remember what God had to do to save you. You know what will keep you humble is to realize what you really are without God. Like we like to think about how our worth, but what you ought to focus on with your whole heart is what I'm worth to God, what he did to pay my sin debt, what he did to redeem me, what he wrote down so I could lead my family, what he did so that I could have a life and do good works that honor him. He comes all the way down, and I want you, he reminds us. He gives us that strength. The strength goes to the soul. He says, in the day, verse 3, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthen me with strength in my soul. You know, I took a class. I taught the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was called the inner man or inner strength is what it was trying to for all of us to convey in that class. Can I just remind you that every one of us, when we come to church, do you know what we're looking for? Not to whitewash the outside so everybody else thinks we're good, but to work on the inside so that it can have, listen, get it strengthened in our soul, in our inner man, so that we can walk and do what God wants us to do. For all of us to think idly of that or to think separate from that is just crazy. And to skip down with me out for time's sake, I want you to see this. I don't want to miss it this morning. He reminds us to stay humble in verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath the respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. For most of us, we realize every time that someone gets themselves too lifted up with a haughty spirit or pride, and oftentimes we don't combine the two. We know really good and we quote the first half of the verse, but we leave the second half off. We'll say pride goes before destruction. And none of us think we're prideful, but how's your spirit today? Do you walk around every day with a critical spirit, criticizing what everyone else does and how they do and how they get things done? Or is it a humble spirit of thank God that he has people that are working on that? Thank God that he has servants that are doing this. Thank God that he has placed people in my life that can help me. Or are we just critical about what they don't do or how much they don't get done? For all of us, who wants to live that kind of life? Nobody. That's pride. And what is this? A haughty spirit, not a humble spirit. A humble spirit is focused on who? Me and what God is doing through me. The good works that I'm doing, not measuring myself by everybody else or what everybody else is getting done. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because if we're not careful, that's one of the greatest things, the tools of Satan. He uses our eyes, and instead when we convince ourselves that we don't need the houses that the world needs, and we don't need the cars that the world needs and all that, sometimes then we get critical and start looking at all the other Christians around us, and instead of having a humble spirit, we get a haughty one, and we tear everybody else down. Critical spirit not only kills the person who has it, but it'll kill the people around them. You say, preacher, well, why are you saying that? Because revival can change that. That comes deep from down in your soul, a sense of dissatisfaction, and nobody, not one worker for the church, not one person in your home, your husband, nobody else can give you that. There's one person that can give you that, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he can give you a satisfaction down in your soul, strengthen your soul so that you can follow him, so that you can endure all the troubles of this life, and so that you can, if I can say it like this, you can wear a smile everywhere because you've got that humble spirit to serve God and to see another day to serve God and to praise him and worship him for his name's sake. He comes all the way down. And lastly, I want you to see this. The work is all done by God. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Revival comes, and it is truly and completely the work of who? God. It is not something you can work up. You can't revive yourself. Every dead person that lays on the street, they cannot reach up and grab the paddles, even if they brought the ambulance down and the paramedics laid the jump box beside the dead body and said, go ahead, buddy, jump yourself. I've never seen a dead car jump itself off. Somebody had to come from the outside and put live power from cables to the dead car, and then it would crank up, and then it could get back under some power again and do some things. Listen, the Christian is no different. When you get dead and out of, I'm just going to say this, not revived the way that you used to be, to think that you can light the fire yourself or throw enough wood on it to get right, you got to go to God. It has to be an outside source of power that revives you and me, and it has to be Jesus Christ. This revival is just for all of us to have a place. Listen, where can I go? Where is the jump box going to be? Most of us, if we had pain this past week, I thank God that Brother Brian Baker is back with us, but when he was having some chest pain, where did he run? To the hospital. If I needed revival, where would I go? To the revival. For most of us, we want God to do it from a distance. God, I'm only going to give you the 35 minutes, maybe 40 this morning, on Sunday morning. How about saying, God, I want revival no matter what it costs me this week. I'm going to attend, and so you can speak to me and you can do a work in me to get me back to that place. He doesn't just work through revival. He says, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against mine enemies. How many of you today are in here, and you listen, don't raise your hand, but you have felt the oppression of the enemy this week? Where do you think you're going to lift the hand of the enemy off of you? You have to meet with God. You have to get with him. He's the one that has to step in and pull that hand off of you. And then he says, and thy right hand shall save me. Listen, this salvation is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But most Christians, if they were honest, they would tell you how many times God has saved them from themselves over and over again, where he stepped in and gave revival and revival and revival in their life. Man left to himself, away from the word of God, even if he's born again and on his way to heaven, doesn't wind up. He winds down when he gets away from God. So how do I get started again? Have revival. Ask God for it. Ask the only one that can give it to give it to you. He said he'd save you. The final verse says this, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And he says, thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. See, the workmanship that you are and I are, perfect. That means, doesn't mean that any of us are ever going to be perfect until one day he changes us into his own image. But on a daily basis, he can continue to try to complete me as a Christian if I allow myself to be his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and he's perfecting his creation. Me, a spiritual one, not the outside. It's winding down. Everybody in here realizes Pastor Parsons came in here with two less hairs than he had last week. We can joke about it all we want, but we wind down. I even talked about my skin. It isn't as thick as it used to be. We don't get better, we get worse. But spiritually speaking, that should not be the case. On a daily basis, we ought to walk with God, and as the flesh winds down, we ought to be being strengthened inside the inner man and our soul by the word of God, by the reviving of God over and over again until we see him face to face and we're changed, not just soul, but bodily into his image. See, folks, saving me. You say, preacher, why would you use that? Well, we use that, you know, somebody swims out and they start drowning. What do they scream? Save me. They're not talking about a spiritual salvation or being born again. They want to be saved. Who swam out there? They did. Who got out over their head? They did. Who can change it? They cannot save themselves. They need somebody to come out and save them. Do you know oftentimes what the Christian does? We swim out in deep water thinking we can handle it. And whether it's the troubles of this world and the tides that draw us out deeper than we thought we would want to go, you know, sin will take you farther than you ever want to go out. As a boy, I was pulled away from the shoreline, grew up on the Atlantic coast, and I'm thank God for a daddy that taught me, if you get out and you can't get back, what do? Don't quit swimming. He said, you swim down the beach until you get to a place where you can swim back in. Can I tell you, many of you, if you hung in, you're in church today, and there might have been a long time in your Christian life that you got towed out and you've been right where you are for a long time, but you've been paddling down the beach. When God gives you an opportunity like a revival or a message that draws your heart and you realize that the toe of the current isn't quite as hard as it has been all the other time, I believe I can make it back to the beach if I just give myself to it. Can I tell you that it's a good example for us? But really, you say, I don't have any strength. Who's going to give your soul strength to swim home? God. If you put your faith and trust and yield yourself to him. I'll say this, most of the time, people get right with God when they humble themselves like a little child and they walk down the altar and they are, listen, or bow their head and their heart right where they sit and acknowledge that they have an issue and they ask God to help them. Listen, are you so proud today that you won't ask God for help? Are you so proud today that you think that you're already perfected? Or are you willing to bow your head and your heart and say, God, I could be closer to you. There has been a time in my life that I've been closer to you than I am right now. And God, more than what anything else right now, because of your word, I want revival. Would you ask him for it today? If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible, listen, you can't be revived if you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You need to be quickened according to the scripture. That means you need to be born again into the family of God. Say, preacher, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. You know that you could put your faith and trust in Him. David did that. David did that and had a life, I mean, a life that he was a man after God's own heart. He had ups and downs and battles, but there were times, and you know what he would say constantly? He said, restore, when he called out to God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Something that he knew that God had given him and he wanted it restored. That's really what revival is restoration of joy because salvation is secured in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not secure in your belief of Jesus Christ, you've never put your faith and trust, you've never been born again, you do not know what will happen in eternity when you die. Would you let us take a Bible and show you how you can put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ? He says that, he says of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the way, the truth, and the life, then today let us take a Bible and show you that person. Let us show you how he came from heaven. It's been sung today. He came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid your sin debt and rose again in power, that you might be able to also one day raise from the dead and spend eternity with him in heaven. If you don't know that, you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, then today can be the day of salvation. I believe the majority of the people in here have been saved. But I know this, in a crowd this size, in the Laodicean church age that we live in, with all the bombardment of Satan and the enemy, the trouble that we live through on a daily basis, I'm looking at people who may be in trouble. Not with the law, but in their soul. And they need to come home to be with the Lord. They need to get closer to him. Let's do business with him today. Would you stand to your feet? As the musicians make their way, whether you need to bow your head and your heart where you are, or whether you want to come to the altar and be altered this morning, would you do what God's asked you to do? I'm going to pray and ask God to help you. If you need to be saved, would you meet me in the front? Dear God, I pray for those that need to be saved today that they would step out, help them, give them boldness to step out and receive Christ. Be with the Christian today, Lord. Without a doubt, there are many that are away from you and need to come back to you. They need to ask you for revival. I don't know in what area of their Christian life it is, but God, I pray this, that they would do exactly what you've asked them to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come?
Just as